Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter, host of Locked On Pelicans. And normally, when I start this podcast, I always say, welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans. But if you guys watched the Pelicans' loss to the Brooklyn Nets by the score of 140 frickin' 3 points to 114 points for the Pels at home against a team that was 1-18 on the road and had the worst record in the league at 8-33, I can't say welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans. What I am going to welcome you all to is the Angry Cast. Yes, the Angry Cast, because I don't really even have words to describe this loss. So, there are tons of words. I just can't use them on the podcast, to be honest. I cannot tell you the amount of emails, text messages, Twitter responses, Twitter DMs that I got over this loss by the Pelicans. And I'm going to play a clip from Alvin Gentry in a second that actually does a decent job of summing up. But I'm going to tell you guys another story first here. I actually got a phone call about this. You know, I'm 30. I use my phone a lot. But when my friends need me, they shoot me a quick text. And I prefer it that way. If you got a quick question or you just want to say something or say, like, what's going on this weekend? You don't need to do the whole phone call of answer the phone being like, hey, how's it going? How are you? I'm good. I'm better. Whatever it is. Just tell me what you need. It's kind of an efficiency thing. But someone was so incredulously mad. I look at my phone because it started vibrating a ton. And it's a friend of mine who I've known for years, one of my closest friends. I don't think he and I have ever spoken on the phone before. And again, I've known this guy for 4, 5, 6 years now. I have never spoken to him in a phone conversation, but he was so mad after the 143 to 114 loss. And by the way, 143 is one shy of the franchise record in points given up for the Pelicans against the Brooklyn Nets, who before this were 8-33 and 1-18 on the frickin' road. This dude called me. He was so mad and needed to vent. That tells you everything you need to know, especially if you're a millennial. And if you are, I'm sorry, we all screw everything up. I don't know if I'm one, though, I guess. But a phone call, which for someone I feel like under the age of 35, 40, is kind of unheard of at times. So I could sit here and we could do the podcast recapping this game, and I'll do some of that to a degree in a moment or two. But I'm going to let head coach Alvin Gentry sum it up for you, and I want you to listen to his comments, and then I'm going to tear them apart.
The effort that we played with sucked. You know, the coaching sucked. You know, the ball movement, everything about it was just horrendous. You know, there's no way of sugarcoating it. I mean, you know, we have an opportunity. We're trying to get ourselves and work ourselves into the playoffs, and we have an opportunity to do something that puts us a little bit closer to our goal, and instead we laid an egg. So I can sit up here and I can BS you guys and say, well, you know, this happened and they made shots and, you know, no, they kicked our ass. You know, in just plain English, they kicked our ass. In every phase of the game they did, you know. Three-point shooting, rebounding, hustling, driving the ball to the basket, everything that you can talk about basketball. There was not one phase of the game that we won. Not one. And if we're not ready to play, I got to get them ready to play. And it's really, really disappointing, you know, to do that on a homestand that becomes very important to us. So, you know, I would like to come out here and say, you know, yeah, it's kind of one of those things that happened. No. We have to be, in order for us to try to be a playoff team, we can't have things like this happen, where they're driving the ball down and it's like a, it's a dunk fest. I don't know how many dunks they had, probably 15, you know. And we got no weak side defense. We're not keeping the ball in front of us. So I could sit here, if you guys want to ask questions or you just wanted me to talk, I'll tell you. It was a really piss poor effort, you know, all around, like I said. And hey, point the finger at the coaches too. It's not just the players. So we got to be better, and we got to be better in a day. And I guarantee you we'll get it done tomorrow in practice. We won't have this kind of effort again.
We won't have this kind of effort again. Yeah, sure. Totally going to buy into that one, because it's not like we've seen them play with tons of energy all the time this year and that we haven't kind of been here through this before. So, no. Not buying that, Alvin Gentry. I don't think the fans are buying it either. Again, a dude called me on the phone. He was so mad. Look, wait, I don't even know where to begin on this right now. Again, I'm so fired up. You never hear NBA coaches speak like this, unless Popovich is your head coach. So it's refreshing to kind of hear him speak like this and in such a candid way. But it's not good. He starts off by saying the effort sucked, the ball movement sucked, everything sucked. So, cool. That's probably should be, you know, if anyone wants to start another Pelicans podcast, don't do it. I will crush you. You should title it Everything Sucked, because maybe that's the perfect way to sum up this team. And then he goes on to say, it's disappointing to not get this team ready to play on a homestand, which is so important to them. Then what the hell is he doing here? Pausing for dramatic effect and to let it sink in. The coach knows this homestand is so important. And he talked about it at the start of it, before the first game of it, when they beat Orlando. He had said, this homestand is very important. And then they come out, and this isn't even laying an egg. I don't even know what, again, you would call this type of loss to the worst team in the league that was 1-18 on the road. He knows how important this homestand is. Doesn't get them ready to play? Are you kidding me? The players are tuning them out then. And you saw they came out flat. Doesn't help that Davis took the leg bruise, which I'll touch on in the second half here. But did they think they were going to sleepwalk through this? And I even called this. You guys who listen to the podcast know on Friday, I said this is not actually one the Pelicans should take for granted. The Nets have nothing to gain by losing. They don't have their first-round picks. They probably looked at this game as a winnable game for them and one they can kind of hang their hats on throughout the year, get a good win or two. And, you know, hey, we were a crap team. We had the worst record in the league. But at least we upset some people and kind of wrecked their season. That's always fun for players to do and for coaches. And then they did it. And the Pelicans probably didn't think that was going to be the case. They thought this team would just roll over. Maybe they were just better than them. Well, guess what, Pelicans? You're not better than most other teams. And then Gentry goes on to say, if you want to be a playoff team, you can't let things like this happen. But it did. So this is not a playoff team is what he's saying? Then again, you're a year and a half in, you have Anthony Davis here. The hell is he doing? If your coach can't motivate players, at the very least, you know, you hear of players' coaches, a guy like, you know, Tyronn Lue, who reaches the players, who's able to talk to them and get them to buy in. Maybe he's not the best X's and O's guy, but he can at least get the players to play. Luke Walton in L.A., those guys are playing so hard for him on the baby Lakers. They're not playing hard here in New Orleans, even if Alvin Gentry is an offensive genius. So, again, what is he doing here? And then the best is the last part. He goes, point the finger at the coaches too, not just the players. You don't need to tell us that, because if you check Twitter, if you check websites, if you watch TV, if you listen to sports radio in this city, Alvin Gentry, everyone is pointing fingers at you. They're also pointing them at Dell Demps. This isn't just gentry. When you've got a team made up of people who seem like they're a level or two barely above the D-League, yeah, you're not going to win games and you're not going to beat teams. You take Anthony Davis on this team, do you guys think there's more talent than Orlando, who they crushed? Because I don't think so. I think I'd rather have that Orlando roster once you remove AD from the equation. Take AD off of this team, you know, and how many rosters would you trade them for? Not many. Take the best player off every team in the league and take Davis off the Pels here. Who would flip rosters straight up? You know, I actually just thought of that in the moment. I don't have the answer to it. That might be a fun one to kind of go down. So if you guys see a team, you'd be like, yeah, I'd take that team would trade for the Pels roster. There's not a ton. There's really not when you, you know, salaries and everything considered as well. So, you know, it's funny that he kind of throws the players under the bus and then tries to deflect some of the blame onto him. He doesn't need to deflect it because people are already putting the blame on him. And this press conference, when you're saying everything sucked, I don't want that dude being the head coach of a franchise. And it's terrible timing for the Pelicans because they just started season ticket renewals. And if you have season tickets, what's the reason? Now, I can give you a lot of reasons, but I don't work for the team. I'm not going to pitch it to you. But again, this is what people don't want to spend their money on low effort. At least if the team's bad and they're trying hard, they're going to be entertaining and you know they care. No one wants to watch a bunch of overpaid guys, or maybe not overpaid, say they're all properly played. But no one wants to see millionaires dogging it out on the court and not trying hard. When they're working hard for their money and their 9-to-5, 40-plus-hour-a-week jobs. It's not quite insulting, let's say. Maybe that's not the right word, but sure as hell should piss you off. Bugs the crap out of me. But there's one thing Alvin Gentry didn't say in the post-game presser that I'd bet you he wanted to, but just couldn't. You guys want to guess? I'll give you a moment. Pause again for dramatic effect. You know he wanted to throw Dell Demps under the bus. We've heard some of the stories about maybe they clash over certain things, even though Gentry is the handpicked coach by Dell Demps. And I'm not going to talk about those. I don't know to the truth of those. I don't think anyone outside of that building on Airline Drive, the Pelicans facility, does. But you think Gentry likes how bad some of these guys are? And look, every Pelicans fan I know, most of them at least, want to defend these guys. Drew's better than he probably actually is to them. Same thing with Solomon Hill. They want Tyreke Evans is great. They want to defend your guys because it's the team and no one, you know, it's almost a denial thing where you don't want to believe this team is as bad as maybe it is and that the talent level on this team is maybe as bad as it is. But, you know, when you look at it again, take Davis off this team. Do you trade this roster for anyone when you remove their best player? I don't know that you do. And that's poor roster construction that's given you guys that aren't trying, that aren't good on offense, that struggle on defense at times, even when, you know, they've been playing better on that end. You can't come out and play flat. This is stuff you need to look at. There's one person who put this team together. He's been here longer than Alvin Gentry. He's been here longer than Tom Benson has owned the team. And his name is Dell Demps. And again, both these guys deserve some criticism. I'd say they even would say that themselves. Gentry did in his presser. He said, point the finger at me. I need to do better. He's taking it. Dell Demps doesn't talk to anyone. You don't really hear from him. And it's a bit disappointing that he's not going to talk about this when you have fans that are very upset and want and kind of demand answers. So it's an interesting situation. But the roster, it's not just Gentry. He's not going to say that the post-game presser that Dell Demps didn't build a good roster. There's talent here, but he's going to say it's not good enough, you know, or he's thinking that, but he can't do that, so he's not going to say it, so he's going to end up taking a lot of the blame here. But frankly, both of them deserve blame, and then the third party involved in all of this is the players who didn't seem to care against Brooklyn and didn't want to defend and gave up 143 points. One shy of a franchise record. So some specifically bad things that the Pelicans did wrong in this game. And the shot chart and eye test tell you a lot and kind of almost all you really need to know about what they did wrong. If you look at it, Brooklyn took 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 shots from mid-range out of 83 total attempts. 5 in that dumb zone outside of the paint restricted area and inside the 3-point line. And about 2 of those are like borderline whether or not they were in the paint or not. So really, you know, between 3 and 5 shots. The rest were threes or basically at the rim or within like 5 feet of the rim. You want to know how those guys got to the rim? You think they were just getting entry passes to these dominant bigs that Brooklyn has? Dominant bigs as in Brook Lopez? Brook freaking Lopez? They were driving from the perimeter. Solomon Hill, for the defensive stopper he was expected to be, and he's played well. He's been the Pelicans' best perimeter defender. I don't, you know, disagree with that. No one should. Could not keep the ball in front of him. And Gentry said it, we didn't keep the ball in front of us. Yeah, because the band was getting behind you because they were beating you off the dribble. This is the issue that's plagued the Pelicans for multiple seasons now. These points in the paint numbers that teams put up against them is not these bigs dominating. It's the fact that and Brooklyn had 60 points in the paint. And it's not dominant bigs that are getting, it's not like Shaq in his prime is playing against the Pelicans every freaking night. People are driving from the perimeter. Pelicans can't keep them in front of them. There's no help rotation defense, whatever it is. You know, there, and the guy gets a look at the rim and scores. It's simple. Now, it's not an easy fix. It's not easy to get perimeter stoppers in the NBA. But you have Drew Holiday, who's pretty good at this, can guard two positions. Solomon Hill can do a good job. You have guys like Dante Cunningham and Anthony Davis who are also fairly athletic and should be able to guard on the perimeter. Why are these guys getting blown by? What is going on here? Now, again, that's a rhetorical question. We know what it is. Solomon Hill can actually stop these guys. He just didn't care, it seemed like, or it was just slow or sluggish or wasn't expecting it. I don't know what it was, flat-footed, just so many different things. And it's a frustrating thing to see from the Pelicans to give up defense like that. And it's not like they played terrible, let's say, on the offensive side of the ball. It wasn't like, you know, Brooklyn scored 110. 143. Pels put up 114. They had 9 turnovers themselves, and that's it. Very good. They had 29 fast break points because when they were defensive rebounding well, which wasn't always, they managed to get out in transition and score really quickly, which is what they did against Orlando, which was what made them so successful in that game. They played that kind of small ball style to perfection, something they haven't done a ton. And they did it here, but frankly just got killed by the defense. We said the season might be a success if they can finish in the top 10 in defense, and they were kind of getting there. But man, a game like this makes you question it. And now, as I get a little bit sadder sounding, it could go to the disappointment cast. So the Pels play the Cavs tonight in New Orleans at home. And, you know, you got to wonder if I'm not going to give you guys a preview after this game. Do you need one? You think this is going to go well for the Pelicans? Not a chance. Davis hasn't practiced the past 2 days with that thigh injury. He said it's more or less a Charlie horse or quad or thigh. I forget which one it is. Or they're the same thing. Hamstring, maybe. They said it's basically a Charlie horse. And he's going to be listed officially as questionable for the game, meaning it's 50-50 whether he's going to play or not. Gentry said he should be good to go. Davis in practice didn't seem as positive or optimistic about it. And he's been really, really banged up the past 10 or so games where he's come out and missed time or gone to the locker room for multiple parts or over multiple games. So you have to figure they might just rest him knowing that this is kind of an assured loss. And things aren't going to get any easier for the Pels. I said they might be out of playoff contention by the end of January. Losing that Brooklyn game kind of sets them on that slide. Minnesota is now only 2.5 games back of the 8th seed. So there's another team they're competing with for that spot. All of a sudden, that race gets even tighter. And now you get the Cavs. And then on Wednesday, you get the Thunder. And then on Friday, you get the Spurs. And then you get the Wizards. After that, a Wizards team that, while was slow out of the gate to start the year, has been playing significantly better. High chances of going 0-4 all of a sudden, and this homestand, which you really needed to go at least 3-3 on, if not 4-2, turns into 1-5. And after this, they don't play more than 2 games in a row at home. Now, this was a rough road homestand, not road trip. This was a tough homestand with those teams, but you had your chance if you're a playoff team. And right now, unless the Pelicans, what's the line from Dumb and Dumber, where you go do something like this and then completely redeem yourself? Unless the Pelicans completely redeem themselves by winning three of these next four, there is, it's just, no. I mean, come on, let's be realistic here. We live on Earth and we don't have like anti-gravity machines. So probably not going to happen, but we'll see. It won't be the angry cast all week long. I needed to get this one out of my system. So Monday, let's start off getting fired up. Maybe the Pels will listen. It'll fire them up for the game. Sure, why not? They need some motivation because clearly Gentry isn't doing it. You know, one of their guys, Phil Weber, he's an assistant coach for them. He's like a motivational speaker in his spare time, I believe. And I've seen some of the YouTube videos of him doing it, which is pretty funny and interesting guy to talk to. Super friendly, before games and such. But you have a guy like that who's gets paid to motivate people when he's not doing, like, coaching. Where's he in this? What's going on with this team? I got to stop. I really have got to stop. Otherwise, like, we're going to go for, like, an hour doing this, which you all probably would like because you're probably feeling the exact same thing. So we're going to wrap it up there. Thank you all for listening to Locked On Pelicans. I didn't even plug anything. I was so angry. Don't forget, it's on iTunes, Audio Boom. Look, you guys know. Follow it on Twitter, at Locked On Pels. iTunes, Audio Boom, subscribe. Listen to the Locked On NBA podcast. Get a national coverage of it. Hot stove stuff is heating up for the Saints. Rumors of Sean Payton going to the Colts. What's going on there? Guys at Locked On Saints are going to have everything about that. I'm kind of curious myself, being a Colts fan, so I'm going to be turning into Locked On Colts, Locked On Saints the rest of the week to try and find out as much as I can about that situation. So that should be an interesting one. So thank you all for listening. Pelicans, again, at home tonight against the Cleveland Cavaliers. LeBron James coming to New Orleans. That's always a fun thing to watch. So hopefully you all enjoy the game. And no matter what the outcome is, I'll see you guys tomorrow.
Napa know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.